Okay, let's just go over what the problems are. So we have, let's see, we have four shitot in the Rishonim. You have the opinion, give me, what is the shil tot? What is his opinion? Yes?
The shil tot holds that you're allowed to do more, you're not allowed to do chesed, and you're not allowed to do adabut on Purim.
Okay, so according to the shil tot, there is no hesped and tanit, of course, like our Gemara says openly. And then there's no avelut. Not only is there no avelut on Purim, it's mivatel avelut. So it's exactly like a regel. It's like the regalim, like Yom Tov. That's the Shil Tot's opinion.
Right, any Yom Tov, mivatel avelut?
Everyone.
Not just regalim.
That's correct. Rosh Hashanah, Kippur. Then you have the opinion of the Maharam Rutenberg. What does the Maharam Rutenberg say? And by the way, this is the halakha to this day. Okay, this is the psak halakha. Do not look in the Mechaber, though, in Hilchot Purim, because the Rambam in Hilchot Purim, the Mechaber has his psak halakha like the Rambam. Okay, but if you go to Yoredeya, or Yoredeya, okay, Siman Tuf Aleph, there he openly says exactly like Maharam Rutenberg. In fact, give me a Yoredeya, the last Chalak, a Chalak Gimel, or I don't know what the last Chalak is in that set. Yeah, give me a Gimel, please. Okay, the Mechaber in Siman Tuf Aleph, as I said, in Hilchot Avelot, in the Chalak in Yoredeya, Met Lo Met Kodem Purim, Upagabo Purim, Eino Mafsik Havelot. Okay, so that's against, of course, the Shil Tot. Umikol Makom, Ein Havelot, no Hegbo, Lo Biyudalid, Velo Bitetvav, Ela Dvarim Shebitzina, no Heg. Vichayav Lishloach Manot, Viafal Pish Eino Mitabel Bahem, and even though you don't mourn on those 2 days, Olim lo miminyan hashiva kimo Shabbat. So whose opinion is the Mechaber quoting? Openly the Maharam word. It's actually word for word. Word for word. He just copied it down, made that the halakha. So and it seems he changed his mind. I don't know why. So everybody asked, why didn't he erase what he wrote in Orach Chaim? Maybe it was a different manuscript. Maybe, you know, it just, that's the one that became popular. It was already out in the world. So they, both versions ended up out there, even though they're totally contradictory. One is like the Rambam, and one is like the Maharam Rutenberg. But everybody is no Hague in the world, universally, like that halacha. Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, that's the whole world, is exactly like the Maharam Rutenberg. Just letting you know. Okay? Okay, so according to Maharam Rutenberg, it's like Shabbat. Avelut b'farhesia is asur. But it's in a, what kind of compromise that is? Good question. That's not just a question for Purim. It's a question to understand why Shabbat is the same halakha. What is that? What, are we trying to fool somebody? But Fahesia, no. But Sinai, yes. I mean, what is that? What kind of idea is that? So that we need to answer that question too. Good. Now, what is the Rambam's opinion?
That yes, avelut, but no hesped.
According to the Rambam, absolutely a full avelut. Full avelut. Okay? The way the Mechaber has it in Hilchot Purim.
So the Rambam,
full avelut. Would
he say, don't go to shul?
He would say, don't go to shul.
Would he say, give
mishloach manot? Yes, because an avel is chayav in all mitzvot of the Torah. So he has to do all the mitzvot. So yes. I never saw the Rambam say not to do the mitzvot of Purim. He just says all the avelut is no heg. And then you have... But strange in the Rambam is, even though the Avelut is no heg, no hesped v'tanit. That's a little bit, you know, a little bit, yeah, something doesn't seem right there. Like you would think, if you could do Avelut, you should also do hesped. But the Rambam says no. Two different things. That's the Rambam's opinion. And finally we get to Rashi, that's quoted by Tosafot in Megillah. See, you wouldn't know that from Rashi's Perush because he's only being Mefaresh the Gemara. Yeah. But Tosafot's quoting him as a Rav. that this is what the Rashi said. Okay? So Rashi said that definitely on Purim, what do you have? You have Avelut. Because how could Purim knock off Avelut? You definitely have it. But you also have, he holds consistent. And you have Hesped as well. So you have four Shitot. Four Shitot.
No, but he also holds that you're not allowed to do Tachanunim.
Yeah.
But he holds that when the Gemara said it's Asur Zebazah, it's Asur in Tanit and in Tachanun, not in Hesped.
But he learns the Gemara, is he learning some Chamish there, Yom Tov, differently?
He must be. He must say that. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't have Rashi's Gemara in front of me.
Must be Asur Betachanun is one of
the... I guess so, something like that.
Asur Betachanun.
Yeah, Asur Betachanunim. I don't know. I can only tell you what Rashi said, based on Tosafot's report. Can't tell you what Rashi's Gemara looked like. Of course, so we have to explain what is this four-way machloket. And also, as part of that, of course, also explain the difference between Sinah and Farhesia. And hopefully when we're all done, we'll have a much better understanding of the possibilities of Purim and Avelut. Okay, so let's start. So of course the Shiltot is the easy one. I mean, Shiltot, we've pretty much already said the Svara. The Shiltot simply learns that when the Chachamim and Mordechai and Ubeit Dino, when they instituted Purim, they instituted Purim like a regel. That is, they made a halacha of Simcha as part of the very definition of Yom HaPurim. It's part of the Yom. Just like Kiddushah, just like a Malacha is part of, let's say, Shabbat. Okay, or fasting is part of Yom Kippur. Here, just like on a Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah, v'samachta b'chagecha. V'samachta b'chagecha on a Yom Tov is not an extraneous halacha. Okay? It's not like lulav, for instance. On Sukkot, you chayav to do lulav. But lulav is not part of the very structure of the Yom. It's, you wouldn't say it's not Sukkot without a lulav. It's not true. Without Sukkah, it's not a Sukkot. That you imagine. Living in a Sukkah is part of the very definition of what this thing is. But then you can have other mitzvot. Right? I'm obligated on Pesach. I wouldn't say it's essential to Pesach to eat maror. It's a mitzvah on Pesach. But eating matzah in the sur chametz, that's the very fabric of the structure of the yom. It's simply not Pesach without that. Okay? So you have to understand, there could be differences. Sometimes you can have something that's the very definition of the yom, and then you can have other mitzvot that the gavra is obligated in. Okay? Is everybody clear on that distinction? Yeah. It's an important distinction. Okay? Okay. Yeah.
Do we have to answer the question how they could just read the day of that of Tanit? Or they just the rabbis have the Torah?
That's what they said. Yeah, the Chamid structured it as a Yom Regel. So Purim is a Regel the Rabbanan. So that's it. Simcha is part of the very fabric of the Yom. So therefore, it would be contradictory to have Avelut. You can't have Avelut. No, you can't. Yeah, and since you can't have Avelut, it breaks the Shiva. It's Mivatel, the Shiva, because the Shiva have to be contiguous. The Shiva, it's not arbitrarily, I sit 7 discrete days of mourning.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? That's an important concept. Shiva is a continuum. It's one unit of 7 days. The minute it gets broken, you can't accomplish it.
But do the days still continue or not?
No. They're over. You broke it. You can't have, I'm observing day 1, day 2, day 3. Now it's Purim, according to the Shiltot. The next day, or whatever, 2 days later, you can't start doing Avelut again because it was broken already. It has to be a unit of 7. A unit of 7. Not just you happen to be observing 7 days of Avelut. It's a unit of 7. Clarify that. Excuse me. Let's say somebody law Leno, but okay, you're an Avel, right? And let's assume I decide, I'm not going to sit. I'll just lay in bed for 7 days. I'm still an Avel. Yeah. Yeah, I'm still an Avel, so I'm not doing one of the Nihugim of sitting on the floor. That's still an Avel. That would count as the 7 days. Okay, I'm not doing all the Nihugim that I'm supposed to be doing. So what? So Shabbat is one of the days. That's why we say Shabbat is Olel Ola Minyan. It adds up to the Minyan, to the number seven. But Yom Tov doesn't. And according to the Shiltot, either does Purim, because Purim has a din of a regal midrabanan. So the Shiltot is simple. That the Yemei Simcha or Mishteh is exactly like the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov. It's part of the very fabric, Kedushat HaYom, is that. Okay? One cannot imagine Yom Tov without Simcha.
Therefore,
it knocks off. There is no observance of Avelot. And therefore, subsequently, it's mevatel avelot. It's a bitul. Because the very nature of the yom is contrary to avelot. Okay? That's good.
Is being an avel defined by the...
To understand the other opinions, I have to teach you one basic idea. It's a gemara in Brachot. But has very wide application. It's a Gemara actually on Daf. I think it's Daf Mem. Okay, Masechet Brachot. Mem Amud Aleph. And that is, there is a pasuk. You guys probably know. Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. And the Gemara has a famous halachic. Derivation in Torah Shabbal Peh on this pasuk, okay? Baruch Hashem Yom Yom Kol Yom Vayom Tein Lo Me'ein Birchotav. Okay, I don't want to get into the linguistics of the pasuk. There happens to be a very good reason why this Torah Shabbat Peh is so beautifully into the way David HaMelech expressed it, but I'm not getting into that now. Let's just understand the Torah Shabbat Peh. Kol Yom Vayom, each and every day, Tein Lo, give to him, give to Hashem, Me'ein Birkotav. Okay, something that reflects the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Okay, Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav. Give him something that's akin, that reflects his blessings. From this halakha, this is why you say Ya'alev Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, Al Hadisim on Chanukah Upurim. Why you say a Shabbat Tfilah on Shabbat and a Yom Tov Tfilah on Yom Tov and a... Why you have Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah, etc., 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 etc. It's all part of the idea of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom Kol Yom Vayom Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav. So it's obviously a very powerful principle that determines so much of what we do. You know, in Hilchot Shulchan, you know, in Aor HaChaim, in a daily halakha. Okay, it's a powerful one. Okay, now. The other way to understand Simcha and Mishteh, the other way meaning, not as a halakha in the very fabric, in the very day, like a day, like Yom Tov, is to understand that Simcha is not part of the fabric, the very essence of Purim, but rather, there's a chiyuv on the gavra, on the person, tein la Hashem ein birkotav. In other words, you have to reflect simcha because today is Purim. And Purim, there were major nisim that happened. The Jewish people had revach v'hatzalah. So therefore, what are you obligated to do? To express Simcha, Umishteh, etc. It's a halakha that stems from Kol Yom Vayom, Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav. It's a chiyuv on the gavra to do acts of Simcha and to give shevach and hoda'ah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Purim day. Okay? It's an obligation that's upon the person to do this. Okay? Just like tefillah. Tefillah on Shabbat. Why do you have to say a Shabbat tefillah? That doesn't stem from the Kedushat HaYom. It stems that there's Baruch, you must give shevach to God on this day that's appropriate to what's going on, to what the concepts are of this day. So the same thing here. It's not part of, it's not halakha that Purim is a regel, that is a part of the very essence of the day is simcha. I must do simcha because I must fulfill that kol yom v'yom, tein lo me'en birkotav. What's the appropriate birkotav on Purim? Kriyat Megillah, Simcha, Mishteh, Yom, you know, all these things. You guys following me at all?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So
you say
the new concept comes from the
Aseh. Okay, when it says, Yemei Simcha, Mishteh, it doesn't mean it's part of the fabric of the Yom. But rather, Yemei Simcha, Mishteh, it means that the Gavra must act this way on this Yom. He must make the Yom a day of Simcha u'Mishteh. But where does it stem from? Kol Yom v'Yom, Teilom Ein Berachotav. Okay? Just like on Shabbat, he has to make the day a Yom of Oneg Shabbat. He has to, on this day, make it a day of Simcha. But it doesn't emanate from the structure of the Yom. It emanates from the obligation of the person to give appropriate expression before God, before Hashem. You guys understand? It's a subtle point, but an important point.
What does this do?
All right, we're going to explain the Shita of Rashi first. Okay? All right, then you'll see how this all comes together. And there's that idea I just shared with you, how that works in application. So one second, where is the Sukkah sheets? I want to show you one thing, a surprising Rashi. In order to understand Rashi's position, you need to know one thing about Rashi. So there's do not even ask me about this Gemara. I'm not going to discuss what this Gemara is about. Okay? But there's an interesting Rashi. It's at the bottom of Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph in Sukkah.
Nice underline.
Tirda de Rishut. Tirda Rishut means it's an involvement. It's an involvement of Rishut. Okay? Of something that's like not obligatory. Not mitzvah, I should say. Maybe that's a better way to put it. All right. So Rashi explains. Again, I don't want to go into the Gemara. She'af al pi shu chayav linhog avelot. Even though it's true, a person is obligated to practice avelot shel ni'ilah. Ni'ilah means not wearing leather shoes. Rechitza. Sicha. Anointing, right? Leharot kivod meto. Even though it's true, a person is obligated to do the practices of a lot in order to show respect for the dead, for his deceased. Eino chayav litztayer. There is nowhere in the Torah that says he's obligated to in any way feel bad. That was not the obligation of the Torah.
Because it's a human show. It's natural inclination.
You could say that.
No.
Whatever you want to say to support Rashi, but Rashi holds one thing. That Avelut, exactly. Very good. Avelut, by the way, this was the Rashi that Rav Soloveitchik never liked. Never liked this Rashi. In fact, he tried to twist it a few times. Tried to twist it out of shape. Because it bothered him so much. But Maris, you're right. It's exactly what Rashi is saying. Is that Avelut is not a Kiyum Balev. It is not a Kiyum Balev, according to Rashi. You could be totally cold. You could be feeling happy. And still fulfill the mitzvah of Avelut 100%. As long as you do what? You do the actions. Because what is the essence of Avelut according to Rashi? Exactly. Kvod Meito. Exactly. Kavod Amet. That is the essence of Avelut according to Rashi. Not Kiyum Balev. It's not to engender any inner feelings. Halacha's not saying we want you to do this because you're supposed to have a certain really inner experience. Here, it's just simply an external behavior to show Kavod Hamet. That's what Rashi holds, is the idea of Avelut, which, by the way, at least according to Rav Soloveitchik, okay, who maintains that every other Rishon in the world disagrees with this, and holds that the essence of Avelut is ultimately a Kiyum Balev. In other words, all these actions that you're doing are all to bring about that kind of inner experience. And if that inner experience shouldn't happen, then you really didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Avelut, no matter how much you sat Shiva. Okay? I mean, you did the right halachic actions, but no, you didn't get the inner experience. That's a problem. Okay, the Kiyum Balev is the essence. And the Rav Soloveitchik had a lot of proofs, all the Rishonim, that they hold this way. Yeah, the other mitzvah, obviously, where Kiyum Balev is certainly tefillah. Tefillah is an avodah shebalev. Just mumbling words is not tefillah. Tefillah is a inner experience, a reality experience that you're having a conversation with God and has a certain effect on you as a human being. Yeah, exactly.
Lip service is just
a ritual. Okay. Correct. So according to Rashi, Avelut definitively is Kavod Hamet. That's where she holds. You had a question?
Yeah. Is this supposed to tie into what Rashi said earlier?
Hold on, yeah. Now, what is Hesped?
Honoring the deceased.
Hesped is also Kavod Hamet. Hesped is also Kavod Hamet. And that's exactly why Hesped is the one thing that you're allowed to, before you die, you're allowed to say, don't be maspid me. I don't want to hespid him. Nothing. Skip it. Bury me. The Met cannot tell you, I don't want to be buried. That's a separate mitzvah. That's a mitzvah kfura. He can't waive that mitzvah. It's not his business. But hespid? That's kfar amet. If he wants to, wave Mimochel his Kvod Hamet, he can be Mimochel. Okay. So now that you know Hesped is Kvod Hamet. It comes out, therefore, just one minute, according to Rashi now.
Mrs. Weinstein.
So now we can straighten out Rashi and understand him. Because Rashi learns like this. Rashi learns that Avelut is a halacha, that you have to have Shivat Yimei Avelut. It's a designation of these 7 days. These 7 days are kavua, are designated for Avelut. Okay? And now, along comes Purim. Purim, all Purim has an obligation on the Gavra of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Tein lo me'ein birkotav. So therefore, the Gavra simply has to do those activities of Simcha. But they coexist. The Purim doesn't knock off the Avelut. It can't, because it's not a Yom Shel Simcha. It's a halakha that the Gavra has to do acts of Simcha on this day. That's the halakha. He has to do the acts of Simcha. It's operating on two different planes. Here is the Yom, it's a Yom of Avelut. And then there's an obligation on Purim that Baruch Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav. So where's the conflict? It might seem a little strange to you emotionally, perhaps, but there's no conflict conceptually, in formulation. As a structure, there's no conflict. One's a halakha, it's the yom, it's a yom of Avelut. Okay? And then there's a halakha of what? is halacha, tein lo main birkotav. You have to make, you have to do acts of simcha, umishter, read Megillah, matanat lev yomim. You have to do those things. Okay, so you do those too. And of course, according to Rashi, hesped is part of avelut. Because what is avelut? Kavod hamet. When does the kavod hamet start? With hesped. And continues with the nihugim of avelut. So just like avelut doesn't get knocked off, of course hesped doesn't get knocked off. It's all kavod hamet. It's one continuum of avelut. Really, according to Rashi, avelut is hatchalat ha'avelut. I'm sorry, hesped is hatchalat ha'avelut. There's two modes of avelut. Before the guy is buried, and after the kvura. Before the kvura, how do you do avelut? You talk about him. That's how. That's the way you express kavod hamet. You talk about him. You talk about how wonderful he was. Why he will be missed by his family, by his community. That's before the kvura. After the kvura, how do you show avelut? By the nihugei avelut. By the actions of avelut. By observing 7 days of avelut. So according to Rashi, just like Avelut doesn't get knocked off by Purim, of course Hesped doesn't. It doesn't at all. You see? That's it. So according to Rashi, the basic idea is like this. What you have to simply remember is, Avelut is a kviyut in the yom. It's 7 days of Avelut. Okay, it's an entity of yamim that has to be Avelut. That's one level. Then you have a separate chiyuv on the person of Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav. You have to give God his proper due, and you have to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he has done for you, for us. And what he did, what he's doing for us today is not the same what he did for us up Purim. Today I don't say Al Anisim. That's not what it would be Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav today, to say Al Anisim. Today I say other things. When it comes to Purim, now I say Al Anisim. Now I have a suda. Now I have mishteh. Now I have mishloach manot. Now I have matanot lev yonim. You see? That is tein lo mein birkotav for Purim. It's not contradictory to the yom avelut. It's two different planes. One's a chiyuv on the person to make this a certain kind of experience. A certain kind of experience on this yom. And the other is that it's a kfiyut in the day to have avelut. It's not contradictory. Emotionally, it's difficult. I understand. Mostly difficult is not necessarily halachically contradictory. It's two different things. It's two different things. That's it. It's two different things. Sometimes halacha demands of you big things. It's true. It just never asks you to do something contradictory, halachically speaking. This is Rashi. No, we don't do it this way. No. This is Rashi. And 1 second. As long as I'm here, the Rambam and Rashi, which by the way is often the case, the Rambam and Rashi are partners.
Do you agree?
Yes, because according to Rambam, you also have Avelut when? On Purim. So he also holds. Why? Because the Avelut is part of the Yom. And then there's a separate halacha of what? Of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav on the Gavra to have express Simcha. So they're not contradictory. Now you'll ask me, so how come the Rambam has what?
No
Hesped. Okay? Because the Rambam learns Hesped is Kavod Ha. According to the Rambam, and he says it openly in Perek in Hilchot Evel, Perek Yud Bet. We just read the first four words of Yud Bet. Ha Hesped Kvod Ametu. Hesped, of course, everybody agrees is what? Kvod Amet. But Avelut, according to the Rambam, is Akiyim Ba Lev. It's not a bet. Avelut is like, do it Kvod Amet. So therefore, the two things separate. They're detached. Not like Rashi, that they're all one thing. It's detached. You can't make them together. They're two different issues. So Avelut is part of the Yom. Avelut is part of the Yom. It doesn't get canceled by a Chiyuv on the Gavra. But the Chiyuv of the Gavra to do what? Tein lo me'ein birkotav does run bump up against hesped. I'm supposed to be a gaver that's giving me'ein birkotav of simcha or mishteh, and now I'm going to start eulogizing people? Hesped is a chiyuv of me to give kavod emet. That is going to be a problem. That's the Rambam holds. You're not getting that?
Okay.
According to Rashi, Hesped and Avelut are one thing. Okay, they're all one thing. They're all part of the Yom. They're all part of Yemei Avelut. The Yemei Avelut starts at the funeral, okay? And then there's 7 days of sitting Shiva, what we call sitting Shiva. According to Rashi, that's all one contiguous activities of Avelut that are all part of the day. And therefore, Purim does not affect them. The Yemei Avelut, Tekfiyut and the Yom. These 7 days, they're a unit of Avelut that begin with the Hesped. The Hesped begins it. There's the Yom, let me put it this way, there's Yom HaKfura, and then there's going to be the 7 days of Avelut. Purim doesn't bump up against any of those things. Because Purim is, again, remember, Avelut is Yom, this is Gavra. They don't contradict each other. It's two different frameworks. You got to think three-dimensionally here. It's two different planes. They're not bumping against each other. As a legal formulation. Again, emotionally they might be. But that's it. Life sometimes has emotional bumpings. You gotta live with both.
Yeah.
You know? So my relative dies on Yom Tov. My grandfather, 30 years ago, more, 30, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever, passed away on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, my family is still chayav and simcha on Rosh Hashanah. I mean, that's emotionally not easy, but that's halacha. That's it. Sometimes you can have emotional bumping. As long as it's not halachic, legal bumping, then the two laws can't be together. So over here, the Avelut is the Yom, this Shivat Yemei Avelut and Yom HaKfura. Those are days. And then there's an obligation on the Gavra of Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, Teilo Mei Birkotav. It's not contradictory. Both could coexist. There's Yemei Avelut, and I'm obligated to express appreciation to God for the Nisim that happened on Purim. It's two different strata. Oh, so according to the Rambam, but the Rambam differs with Rashi on one aspect. Where does Hesped belong? According to the Rambam, Hesped is not part of the Yom. Ah, it's not part of Avelut, and therefore not part of the Yom. So it's just a separate obligation on a Gavra to eulogize his met. Right? But then I have an obligation to do what? Of Tein Lo Me'ein Birkotav. Those two bump together now.
Oh, because...
Now they bump. You're asking me as a person... to that I'm obligated as a gavra to be a mesameach, and then you're asking me as a gavra to eulogize. Those two things, the Rambam holds, is contradictory.
So which one does he say precedes over the other one?
So the Isur Hesped is in place. You can't have Hesped on Purim.
But it's still the not with Hashem.
What?
Still not with Hashem Alev, though.
No, not Hesped. That's Kavod Emet. Okay, back on. Now, So now you have, according to Rambam, you have Hesped and Avelut as two different things. Mm-hmm. Okay? Avelut is halacha in the Yom. Mm-hmm. Hesped is the gavra. Okay? Now, if you have this and this, they can't both be happening. That's what the Rambam says. You can't have an obligation on the same plane that's contradictory. You can't tell me that the Gavra is obligated to make this a day of Yom Yom, of Simcha U'Mishteh, and at the same time obligate the Gavra doing what? In giving eulogies. They can't go together. Now you have a contradiction on the same plane. You're in the world of the Gavra in contradiction. Here you're telling him to have this, express this on this now, and then you're telling him to do this. Oh, I don't know what came with. I meant, like, sorry.
Yeah.
In this case, it means Simcha Mishdeh. Shabbat means Tefillah. I mean, it means, right? Tehlo Mein Birkotah, whatever it is. Okay? This is a contradiction. But according to Rashi, all this is Alhacha in where? In the Yom. So therefore, it doesn't contradict what you're asking the Gavra to do. See, here, it's the Gavra. This is, so now this has to be Asur. According to Rambam, this has to be Asur.
Why that?
What do you mean?
Why that not Yom? Why not?
It's a contradiction.
Why not Purim? Why cancel the town?
Because that was the Takanat Chachamim, that this should take precedence over that. Oh. But I'm not interested in why that takes precedence over that.
Why?
I am showing you why it's contradictory.
Right, yeah.
Right. Then you can just ask me why, because they felt it was more important. That's it. I mean, I give you a lot of reasons. Maybe because it's a mitzvah of the tzibor versus the hesped of a yachid. I can give you all sorts of reasons. The main point is that they're contradictory, and therefore they can't both coexist. Whereas according to Rashi, they're not, because hesped and avilut is all part of the yom. It's all kavod amet. This is all avilut according to Rashi. Hesped is not a separate concept. It is avilut.
So hesped's not on the gavra by Rashi.
That's right. It emerges from the yom just like Avelud emerges from the yom. So therefore, according to Rashi, everything here could exist, and then you can have a separate halakha of the Gavra doing this. But according to the Rambam, you can have a contradiction, because he learns Hesped, he learns Avelud differently.
Yeah.
It's all dependent on how they learn the relationship between Hesped and Tanit. But Rashi and the Rambam are both in agreement that the Simcha of Purim is not like the Shi'ul Tot. It's a Simcha of Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. It's not part of the very Yom itself. Okay? It's the old three positions. How many theories do you have?
Two.
Two.
Because
they have a basic machloket. Is Simcha Mishteh part of the Yom, or is it a halacha, a separate halacha on the Gavra of Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom? Rashi and the Rambam are in cahoots together, and against the Shi'ul Tot. Except Rashi and the Rambam have a separate side machloket about where do you categorize Hesped. A detailed machloket, which is what always happens in a three-year machloket. Okay? Now we'll take on the Maram Marutenberg that we actually hold on. Yeah, I think Tosafot, why does it no Tachanonim? So Tosafot really gives it away at the end of the Tosafot. He says that it's not a Yom Tzara. So what Tosafot is saying is, normally you say Tachanunim. Why do you say Tachanunim every day?
Because
it's really personal. Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. Since it's a time of Tzara, therefore you are obligated to be a supplicant before God. It's not only in the happy stuff. Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, Telo Me'ein Birchotav means that you have to relate to God appropriate to the nature of the day. Every day normally is considered a Yom Tzara. Okay? You say that, that's why also you say Lama Tzeach. Right?
Yom
Tzara. You see, every day is considered Yom Tzara. But Purim isn't. So it's again, it would be a contradiction in the Gavra of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Is it a Yom Simcha or Yom Tzara? So the Tachanonim gets knocked off.
I thought we just said that he's not Yom Simcha, though, Rashi. Isn't all this Yom Simcha?
No,
Yom Simcha from the standpoint of the Gavra, not the fabric of the Yom.
That's why it's different. Like.
So now we come to the Maram Marutenberg. So Maram Marutenberg, of course, obviously holds, I mean, since we are Noheg Avilut, so clearly he doesn't hold like the Shi'ul Tot either. It's easy to get away from the Shi'ul Tot quickly. Okay. Right? Because if you hold like the Shi'ul Tot, that it's part of the very nature of the Yom, then it's impossible to have Avilut. That's another point, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, logically. If you say Simcha is part of the nature of the Yom, then it's impossible to observe Avilut.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Now, so what does Maram Rutenberg say? So to understand the Maram Rutenberg, I think it's better to first understand Shabbat.
Yeah, yeah.
right? Let's understand Shabbat. Forget about Purim. Let's get to more basic things. Shabbat. What's going on there?
So, you have an idea? Go ahead.
Why publicly and not privately?
Yes.
So,
so the idea is like this. What the Maharam of Rundberg says, there definitely is, you have Avilut on Shabbat. Okay, it's part of the days of Avilut. Okay? But why don't you have Bifarhesia? The answer is because that would be a lack in Kavod Shemayim. Shabbat is Lashem. And Avelut is personal, is the personal. So therefore, it would be inappropriate, it would not be a Kavod Shemayim to publicly be involved in your personal world on Yom HaShabbat. You see, you can't manifest that, not because it makes a difference what they know and don't know. It has to do with, it's not fooling anyone. It's about you cannot manifest Avelut on Yom HaShabbat. You cannot manifest, it's a lack in Kavod Shemayim to be involved publicly in your personal stuff. Shabbat is a Yom LaShem. That's what it is. It's Kabbalah. Kabbalat Shabbat is Kabbalat Hashem. That's really what it is. It's a day that has to do with being Omer Lifnei Hashem, welcoming Shabbat HaMelech, like the Rambam says. Who's the Melech, really? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's really the halacha, and it's the same halacha, of course, on Purim. On Purim also. As a matter of fact, I don't want to go into the whole, drush over here. Okay, you're not paying me enough, but what do we really say? Kimu v'kiblu ha'yudim. And the Gemara on Shabbat says that this was really the real Kabbalat Hashem v'torato, was really Purim. That's really the essence. Purim is really, in fact, I spoke about that on Shabbat, that Purim, people are totally messed up. They think, Purim to them is all associated with just, craziness. You know what I mean? It's a total, totally crazy day. But the truth of the matter is, there's some very, very serious themes in Purim. And it's really the proper, the real appreciation, Kabbalat HaTorah. In fact, I'm going to give you an essay tomorrow. I'll let you guys have it. So you can see what the, some of the thoughts about Purim. So the other aspects of Purim. So therefore, it's also, it would be lacking Kvod Shemayim if a person publicly manifested his personal Avilut on Purim. It's not... Bitzinah is okay? It still exists. That's right, it still exists. There's halachically, there's nothing contradictory. Because in Shabbat, there's no Yom Simcha there. Okay? There's no Yom Simcha. And according to Maharam Rimba agrees with the Rambam and Rashi, that here also, it's not a Yom Simcha from the standpoint of the Yom. It's just a chiyuv on the person of Tein Lo Main Bir Kotav. So therefore, there's no contradiction. They both exist. The only thing is, the Maharam of Rittenberg says, it's a problem of Kvod Shemayim. So therefore, the Avelut exists. It counts as a day of Avelut, but it has to be private. And the private, by the way, means by nature private. Like as I told you, the prohibition of having marital relations. Okay? And that's why, really, and I, according to Halakha, in Avel, on Purim, since we passed him like the who? Since we pass like the Maharam of Rutenberg, so it comes out. By the way, it's funny because I don't think people actually follow the halakha correctly. But it comes out that if you get invited to a Purim Suda, you have to go.
Mass.
I put it this way: if it's Bifarhesia, that you won't be there. Right. You're right. If you would be lost in the shuffle and nobody knows anything about it, you're right. Then you're right. Then you shouldn't go. Then you shouldn't go. But if then you're what?
If even one person knows, then you have to go.
Yeah, that's it. The minute it manifests itself in some public way, then already that's it. Nobody should be saying, "Oh, he's not here because he's an Avel." That should not result in that. You see? So therefore, right? For instance, myself. Okay. So the fact that I don't show up at any shul functions on Purim, nobody thinks because I'm antisocial. and I don't like to be with anyone. You see? I've never gone to any Purim thing with anybody. Okay? So that's it. So it wouldn't be a manifestation of Avelut. If I don't show up, I never show up. You see? But like, right? But as I gave you an example last week, there was a seven in a park. If I went to show up, that would have been very public. It would have. People would say, oh, where's Reibold? You know, Huckabee's not here. You see? But so therefore, that I had to go to, because I cannot demonstrate any Avelut on Shabbat publicly. So that'll be the difference. But I do know, I think people, and I don't know why, because since we possibly like the Maharam of Rutenberg, I do know, you find out, people, a lot of times, they don't even go to their families for when they're in Avel. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I mean, the halakha is not that way. But I'm just telling you, I can just only teach you the halakha. And, after that, you can go on your own. What do you call it? Jerry's bringing up a good point. It is not considered marit ayin because people are ignorant of halakha. Meaning, if you show up at a party and everyone's going to go, "Ooh, what's he doing here? Isn't he in Avel?" That's because, unfortunately, they're ignorant of halakha. That's not marit ayin. It's like one time somebody said to complain to Rav Moshe Feinstein, because after Rav Moshe Feinstein's wife lit candles, somebody would drive him to shul. So it's like, how can Rav Moshe get in the car? You know, Rav Moshe wrote. He says, listen, really, it's not marit ayin at all. Because the guy, whoever's saying that, just so that he doesn't know halacha, that the fact that my wife accepted Shabbat with lighting of candles has nothing to do with me. Doesn't have to accept with his wife's lighting of the candles. He says, stop, it's just they're ignorant of halacha. You know? So that's not marit ayin. Marit ayin means that you make a mistake about what the guy's doing and you fully know halacha. Right? I see you in McDonald's. You're eating a salad, but all I see you eating. So to me, I have a right to interpret, you might not be eating kosher. That's marit ayin. You see? You're doing an act that a normal person could interpret in a negative way, halachically. But not because I'm ignorant to halacha. That's not an ignorance. You see? As opposed to me, by the way, I mean, this is just the way I personally hold. I'm not going to speak to your local rabbi. I hold, however, you can go to the bathroom at McDonald's. Because it's not an isur to walk into the place, it's an isur to do an act that looks like you're doing a maaseh isur. And I don't believe going to the bathroom is a maaseh isur. So yeah, that's it. That's not how I personally hold. So if somebody thinks, ooh, but going into McDonald's is isur, so just stop, it's ignorance. What isur is that? I mean, that's an ignorance. Yeah. Okay? That the Yom HaShabbat is a day of Maaseh Breshit, right? And it's a day that a person should really be involved in. It's really a Yom of Hashem, really to be involved in the Chochmah of God and to appreciate God as the Borei Olam. That's the Kavod Shemayim. That everything he does on that day should relate. That's what you mean, like my mother said. I know they don't say it, but you guys in the SY community, you know, if you did something on Shabbos that wasn't asur, but it's not Shabbos day. You know what I mean? It's not a proper. It's not what we should be doing on Shabbos. What are they? Okay, and I'm not saying people are big lamdanim who said these things, but they're not wrong in the sense that you're right. It's not technically asur; it's mutar. But does it really enhance? What?
We say it's not in the spirit of Shabbat.
That's it. Same idea. Yeah. Well, it's not technical, because Maaseh Chol is a halachic category.
Really.
But it's whatever. Okay.
Is that not allowed?
No, you can't say it's a sore. That has to do with a person's own level, their own, it's like I once told a Rav in Baltimore, he wanted to stop all the kids from playing ball on Shabbos, you know? So I said to him, I go, I hear what your objective is, and he's the rub of the shul, you know. I say, I hear your objective. I say, I only ask you one thing. You know, when you decide to prohibit ball, and I don't know exactly how you're going to carry that out, it's kind of private, but whatever. I said, you have to ask yourself one question. What are you substituting for all these teenagers who are playing ball now? Now they got two, 3 hours of empty time of Shabbat. Tell me what, because if they're just going to go home and start reading, you know, novels and who knows what else they'll do. I'm not so sure how much better you don't like ballplaying because it's out in the public. So are you bothered by it because it has nothing to do with Yom HaShabbat? If they go home and they start reading magazines and books and talk about sports, I mean, I don't know how much you've gained. I mean, why is one better than the other? I don't know. So, no, he was having a very reason. He said to me, yeah, it's a very good point you make. I have to think about that. You know, because it's easy to say things are, now you can't say asur, but you shouldn't be doing it. But then the question is, what are you substituting when it's not asur? You got to substitute with something substantial. That's why I don't think, you know, to me, like a lot of times, Rabbanim shouldn't get involved in these kind of things because at the end, they're not going to really bring about the positive. The kids are just going to hear how negative Shabbat is. But what have you given them? You know what I mean? You got to supplant it. No, the kid plays ball for an hour on Shabbat. Look, it's not something I would do necessarily, but if he does it, and meanwhile, and then he also goes to a little shiur, and he goes to shul three times. Okay, so, you know, can't say he's not getting some good benefit from Shabbat. I mean, I wouldn't start condemning people like that, you know? You gotta use your head. But that's because it's a concept of the perfection of Kvod Shemayim. Obviously, you can't do anything like Yisur Malacha or Yisur Derabanan. That, of course, you can't do. I don't care what level the kid's on. That you can't do. But this has to do with the, you know, person's relationship to God. It's a very personal thing. You know what I mean? And then Rav has to be smart. You know when to say asur, when to say mutar, when to be to rebuke somebody, maybe publicly as opposed to, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's good to talk to a kid privately, and maybe he'll on his own he'll come to it. Right, whatever.
It's like instructing a 7-year-old.